All right, we are in the final week of a sermon series that we're calling Mixtape. And for the young folks in here that don't know what that is, that's called a tape. That's called a cassette tape. And I actually remember when I was growing up, my parents had a 8-track player in the car. How many of y'all remember 8-track? Those are back before the cassettes. I'm not old enough to know if you could actually record on an 8-track or not with a regular jam box, but you could with those. And so we would make mixtapes. We would take one of these cassettes and we would record songs off the radio, and we would find our favorite song and get ready. And as soon as that DJ would stop talking, we'd hit the record button and we'd record that song, and then we'd wait until the next cool song came on. Then we'd get that one on there, and we would do that time after time until we accumulated a mixtape. And then we would take this mixtape and give it to our boyfriend, our girlfriend, be like, this is us right here. This is our jam right here. This is our relationship on this mixtape. And so what we've been doing in church is we've been taking some truths out of the Bible and making a flow, making a rhythm, making a spiritual mixtape for different aspects of our life. So the first week we talked about intimacy and dating and romance and marriage. The second week Pastor Will taught and made a mixtape on being a parent, being a kid, how that relationship goes. Last week I talked about money, how that works. Today I want to talk about probably one of the most important areas of your life, and that is what you do for a living, what you do during your regular life. And that might be your school, that might be your job. Some of you are in retirement. But this is what happens in a lot of people's life, is that they live a regular life or a normal life Monday through Saturday, and then they would come to church on Sunday, on the weekend, and kind of get holy, you know, get purified. They have a church experience on Sunday, and then they go back into their regular life, and they have two different lives going on. Well, Promised Land, that's not how we roll around here. We want to have a faith life, whether you're sitting in here in the sanctuary, or you're at the job site, or the cubicle, or in the hallway at school. We're praying and believing that you're flowing in your faith wherever you go. And you don't have to step out of that God mindset whenever you step into work or you step into class or wherever you go. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I'm just curious, just to kind of get a feel, how many people in here have a job? Let's just start with that. How many people have a job? Keep your hand raised if there's two incomes in your house, dual income. How many of y'all ever work overtime? Any overtime folks? Some of y'all just are not going to put your hand down all day. Okay, you can put your hands down. Monster.com, who's the biggest online job search engine, Monster.com, published a study showing that 80% of Americans have two people working in the home. Or at least one person has two jobs. So there's two incomes, dual income in a home. 80%. This has changed so much from even when I was a kid. Now there's so many people working outside of the home. 80% of those households say they're unhappy with their work-life balance. And over 40% of households are working a considerable amount of overtime. And so the workplace is an atmosphere where people are burning out and losing the faith and are upset about life. And so that's not the way God created us to be. He created us. Well, let's talk about it. Y'all ready for the first hit on the mixtape today? Are y'all sure? Here, let's go. Let's hit it. Here's the first track. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel that happiness is the truth. Happy. Happy. Pharrell Williams, Despicable Me. Huge song. Happy. Happy. Happiness at your workplace is a huge thing. But here's the deal. Most people at work are only happy when it comes to one thing, and that is if it's Friday. TGIF. TGIF. I'm happy if it's Friday or if it's Thursday afternoon. I'm thinking that it's Friday. I'm happy because the weekend's almost here. Those of you that grew up in the 80s know this song. Everybody's working for the... Yeah. I bet you don't know any other part of that song other than that line right there. Everybody's working for the weekend. This is the world's view. The world's view is TGIF. Thank God it's Friday because I hate my job. This is a dead end. This is not where I want to be. And if I can just make it to the weekend, thank God it's Friday. Man, I cannot wait until it's 5 o'clock. If it's Monday, I just got to get to 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. What are y'all laughing for? Oh, that's another hit that y'all been singing, right? That's not God's will. That's not God's plan for your life. That you just, Monday, Tuesday, if I can just make it. That's not God's will for your life. He doesn't want you sloughing along just to make it to the weekend. This is what Proverbs 18 and 9 says. Whoever is lazy regarding his work is also brother to the master of destruction. Well, that's a punch in the face right there, isn't it? Not very sugar-coated or anything like that. If you're lazy regarding your work, TGIF, if you're lazy regarding your work, you're also brother to Satan. Come on, that is harsh. That's the word of God. God's not calling us to be lazy. God's not calling us to just make it. Proverbs 12:11, a hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies, TGIF, has no sense. Thieves are jealous of each other's loot, but the godly are well-rooted and bear their own fruit. Now, last week we talked about the power of God being our provider. It's God who is the one who makes us a living. It's God who's the one that provides a job and provides money for us, provides food and clothes and all that. God is our provider. But at the same time, He does not expect for us to be lazy or to sit on the sidelines or just wait for Him to provide. He wants for us to get out there, get a job, even if it may not be your dream job or the one that you would be proud of or the one that people would think is really cool if you worked there. But you're getting a job, you're working it, and you're establishing some roots. Roots is a big deal when it comes to being employed. And there's some people that just hop around and do all these kind of things, trying to find the next best thing. They're not anchored down. They're not rooted. And so this is what the Bible says. A hard worker has plenty of food. In other words, God is partnering. God is providing with the one who's working hard. And we talked about this last week, that work is not the product of sin. You know, Adam and Eve fell in the garden, but that's not when God created work after they sinned. Actually, work was created before they sinned. He made them stewards over the garden. Now, after they sinned, it got a lot harder. They had to sweat and dig and claw and push and all that kind of thing. But work is actually from God. And He wants us to live in the sweet spot in our occupation. Or if you're in school, same thing. Some of you are retired and you're struggling in retirement because all your life you've been known to produce and you've done very well. And now that you're not doing that, you're struggling in your identity. Let's look at what God's word says about being employed in TGIF. I believe that God's word's view is TGIFE. Thank God I'm fully employed. That's what God's word is saying. TGIFE. Some of y'all need to say that at work this week, tomorrow, Monday. Maybe you're hitting the night shift tonight. Thank God I'm fully employed. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have this job. I wouldn't have these skills. I wouldn't have this check, this income. Thank God he provides clients. Some of you are business owners. Thank God there's a client that I have, a patient that I have, contracts that I have. Thank God for that. Psalm 90:17. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Psalm 90:17. Some of you should grab that passage right there. And this Monday, next time you go to work, Tuesday, whenever, when you're not feeling it and you're grumbling, pray this prayer over your occupation, your position. Psalm 90:17. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on me in this cubicle, at this job site. And for those of you that are stay-at-home workers, you are working so hard. Amen. Some of you are schooling your kids at home. Pray this prayer over the school day at home. Establish the work of our hands, Lord. Whenever I type an email, send a text, draft a document, talk to my boss, or talk, Lord, establish the work of my hands today. Thank you, God, that I'm fully employed and that I have a place to work. Colossians, the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So you're not working for your boss. You're not working for yourself or your clients or anything else. And it doesn't matter what job you're doing. It says, whatever you do, whatever you do, whatever level of education that you have, no matter what you're doing, work heartily. Work heartily, richly, in depth. Heartily, work heartily as for the Lord. The Lord is who you're working for, not for a person, not for money, not to even accomplish a task, but you're working to please God. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're doing. Thank God I'm fully employed. So the world wants us to focus on playtime and the weekend and non-work related. And if work doesn't fulfill you, then you need a new job. If you're not making enough, you need a new job. And you should be bitter about where you are and all that kind of thing. That's what the world is teaching us. That's what culture teaches us. But the Word of God says, be thankful that you have work that God has blessed you with. We're entering Thanksgiving season in November. Thanksgiving's coming up. We're thankful that God has given us the opportunity to provide for our families. I'm thankful that God has provided a job for me to provide for my family and beyond, that I can help provide for people that are in need as well. Thank God. I'm thankful. T-G-I-F-E. Or T-G-I-F-S. Thank God I'm financially stable. And if you're not employed and if you're not stable, you should start praying this over your life prophetically. God, you are setting me up. God, you have a place for me. This is how you're working in me. Thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God has opened doors in my life that no man or woman can open and no man or woman can shut. Only God can do these things. God has provided. God has made a way. So that's our first. That's our first jam. That kind of sets us up. Thank God I'm employed. Thank God he's with me. Thank God he has provided. I'm thankful to God. That's our first mindset to open up this mixtape today. And then here's the second one. And I've been waiting for this song this whole series. Are y'all ready for this song right here? Y'all turn it up. Crank it up. Hit it.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Yeah.
Woman done left, just the reason that I've been working for.
Yeah, how many of y'all remember that song? Y'all know who that was? Johnny Paycheck. That's right. Johnny Paycheck. He had to have changed his name to make that all work. Take this job and shove it. You probably never heard that in church before. Welcome to the promised land today. The world's view is that this is just a job. That's what the world's view. The world's view is this is just a job. But listen, there's so much brokenness in the world today. There's so much darkness, division over politics and racism and education and the world view of everything. There's a division. There's a dividing line and so much darkness and hurt and anger and so much things going on that God has called us, me and you, as believers, to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth, to be a city set on a hill, that we are the difference makers in the world today. He's called us to play a part in his great redemption of the broken, dark world that we live in. And if we are in a certain place every single day with certain people every single week, wouldn't it make sense that this is not just a job, but this is a position that God has put you in? And he's put you in this position for a purpose. That's what the word's view is that there is purpose in our position. Now, I know that some of you have tough working environments and you've got people you don't like and there's a boss maybe, or there's, you know, some of y'all work in customer service where you're always answering phone calls where people are complaining and upset, angry, and different things like that. And it's just a difficult time. Well, when we go to the Bible and we look about position and purpose, we look at something that's way worse than your job, all right? Slavery in Egypt, the Israelites were away from their home. They were enslaved. They were there for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. You thought you were in a dead-end job. They were there for hundreds of years in Egypt. And look what he says in Exodus 9:16. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. Do you realize that you are in the position that you're in right now so that God's name could be proclaimed through the way you work at your job, the way you respond to those emails, the way you do the physical job that you're supposed to do with a smile. And you work heartily. And you don't allow the evil one to dictate your attitude and the culture of where you're working. You know, when they were going into, they left Egypt and they went into the promised land. And when they went into the promised land, they went into these environments, just like in Egypt, that were anti-God. And Joshua said, we need to make a declaration that we're going into environments that aren't like God. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so that's kind of how some of y'all need to get into your work environments, is that I don't know about all the other people in this workplace. I don't know about everybody else in this school. But as for me and my computer and my position here, I am going to be representing Jesus today, no matter if this is my favorite job that everybody is so excited that I have. And they look up to me and go, wow, how did you get that job? That's so awesome. Or I'm working that job that I don't really want, that I can't wait to get out of. Regardless of the position that I'm in, I understand there's purpose where I am. There's purpose in this position. I don't want to squander it. I don't want to waste it. Jeremiah 17:7 was a similar situation where this is hundreds of years after Egypt, and they are now about to be sent into captivity again, this time the opposite direction to Babylon. And this is what God tells them. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. I want you to think about the San Marcos River for a minute. In recorded history, it's never gone dry. Every day, 110 million gallons of water come out of the San Marcos River every day. 110 million gallons of water. When you go down there to the Lions Club, Rio Vista, all those areas, you see the amazing trees, right, that are growing by the San Marcos River. Gorgeous. Have been there for hundreds of years, those specific trees. And before those trees, there were trees. Before those trees, they're just amazing trees by the San Marcos River. If you go west up into the hill country, it is the hill country rocks, and there's some cedar trees, there's some little bitty oak trees and things like that. Droughts come and wipe those things out. If you go east, you go into the plains where there's the fields and the corn fields and cotton fields and all that kind of stuff. And they are dictated by drought. But right here in the middle of San Marcos is this little amazing river that does an incredible, incredible life-giving story to these trees. And that's what Scripture is saying. If you'll be like a tree that is planted in the Spirit of God, that's what the water represents, is the Spirit of God. If you're planted in that, it doesn't matter what your coworkers say. It doesn't matter what the economy is doing, because you're not dictated by the elements around you, because you're anchored in the water. And it is what is bringing you life. You're not relying on the outside to bring you life and to bring you hope. And if I don't know if I'm going to make it this week, because blah, 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 whatever. All these different elements of the workplace that you're in, you're not dictated by that. Instead, you are fully established in the waters of God, and He is bringing you life. Your leaves will stay green, and they will never stop producing. That's amazing. One thing that we teach over and over here at Promised Land is Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission. For those of you that have been around a while, know what that is, and you've heard it a lot. That is when Jesus told His disciples to go into all peoples of the world and make disciples by doing two things: baptizing them and teaching them to believe all that He had taught. And the thing that we really try to bring out all the time is that does not mean wait until someday you go somewhere like Mexico or Russia, or, you know, someday when you get educated enough or enough money, or someday you will go to another nation and make them disciples. That's not what that means. What Jesus is saying is wherever you go today, make disciples. Go and make disciples, and don't discriminate. Join up with all peoples. Teach all peoples. Not just the ones that you like at work, but the ones that, oh man, the ones that you don't like. How could your actions at work change the way people view God? By the way you do what you're supposed to do. Have you ever gone into somewhere, some business, and just been totally amazed at how awful their customer service is, and just like, how are you employed here? How? And you say, I want to talk to the manager, and the manager is worse. You know what I'm talking about? I will never come back here again, because you totally do not get it. And then you can go to another place, and the janitor is whistling and welcoming you in, and you say, I love this place. I will always come back here. Why? This person is amazing. You see Jesus on them, and it's not that they started preaching to you or anything, but just the way they do their job with excellence and heartily. And why? Because they're not doing it for a paycheck. They're doing it unto the Lord. And so there's a powerful purpose in the position. All right, here's the final hit on the mixtape today. Go ahead and hit it, guys. Don't worry about a thing. Every little thing gonna be all right. Singing, don't... How many of y'all are at the pool right now? Come back. Come back. There's a theory that a lot of people try to achieve or try to work towards, and that is a work-life balance. And that's kind of a hot topic now in all different regions of the world and cultures, that we want to find this work-life balance. This is a priority that the world has, that if I can get my work and my social life and my family life and my work life, if I can get all that balanced, then I will be in the groove, I'll have the rhythm that I need, and I'll be okay, I'll be at peace when I get a work-life balance. And so typically, you know, when I'm given the worldview and then I give the word view, the world view is wrong, you know, and the word view is right, and that's the case here. But this is not really evil in and of itself. There's just a better way. The word brings us a better way than your priority being a work and life balance. And this is what the word's view is, that we need a God-centered life. So there's a big difference between a work-life balance, and some people would even put a work-life church balance in there. I want to make sure I got all that balanced, that I'm getting just enough church in there, Jesus life, and family life, and work life, and recreation life, and nonprofit organization, and all the different plates that we all spin, if I can get all those things balanced. That's not what the word teaches us. The word teaches us something better than that. The word teaches us that we should have a God-centered life. If we have God at the center and the other parts of our world are rotating around God at the center of our life, then you don't have to focus as much on the work-life balance, because it's going to work itself out. It is going to find its balance when it is rotating or orbiting around Jesus as your Christ, your Savior, your Messiah. When he's that way, everything else begins to work out. So the word says, center your life on God, and the world would say, just make sure everything is all equal and all balanced. And God wants you to have a life that is in a healthy rhythm. God is not going to call you to be lazy. We've already found that out. And God's not going to call you to be a workaholic. We know that. There's going to be balance in your life. But instead of trying to figure out how all that works as your priority is simply put God at the middle of everything. And that's why pastors encourage everybody to attend a weekend service on a regular basis, because it's a recentering. And we take communion together on Wednesday night. We're going to take communion together. That's a family service on the first Wednesday night of the month that we gather communion. We take the bread and the fruit of the vine, the drink, and we remember what God has done for us. We recenter our life around Jesus in worship, in the word, and in communion. These are all helpful tools to keep recentering ourselves. Instead of thinking, I did my allotment of God, and now I want to go back to my life, I am recentering my life so that as I go into my work, he's going with me, and he's at the center of it. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that work balance stuff will be worked out. That's what he's talking about here. Seek the kingdom of God above all other things. And when you seek the kingdom of God first, he's going to help you with your calendar. He's going to help you with your sanity when you're dealing with clients that are wrong. And you're not supposed to act like they're wrong because the customer's always right and all that, blah, 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 all that stuff. And you're trying to figure out how to make it, how to be successful, how to be the light and the salt and all that. How do I do all that? Put God at the center. Put God in the middle of everything. There's so many areas where we have potential to start owning things again and taking them away from God and being impatient when God is not moving fast enough. But we want to rest in Him, and we want to put our hope in Him and our trust in Him so that we don't worry. So we don't worry, but we're happy. Happy that we did earlier from Pharaoh, the happy song. That's the new song. But those of us that were a little bit earlier, it was, ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Be happy. The landlord said your rent is late. He might have to litigate. That was terrible, y'all. That was awful. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Yes, and that's our prayer. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Let's go to God and let's just tell Him right now. Let's make a commitment to Him right now. I don't know where you are. You know, there's so many people in here today across three different services, different places in life. We've got college students that are trying to find a job. We've got people that are just about, you know, a few months away from retirement. And there's just so many different environments, work environments, service industry, production, factories, education. I mean, there's just so many different things and jobs and tasks and assignments for you to accomplish. Whatever we do, we're going to do it to the Lord. He's going to be our boss. He's the one, our focus. And whatever we do, whatever we say, we're going to represent the Lord and make a difference in that environment. That's a difficult task. But when He's at the center of it, it's going to happen. It's going to work. And I'm praying that some of you get actual feedback from people that you work around, or maybe even people that you serve, your clients. I'm praying that some of you get some actual feedback that it's making a difference in their life. And some of you probably already have, and you just kind of sloughed it off. That should be like the number one motivator at work, is how we are fulfilling the purpose God has called us to in that position where we are. So let's go to God in prayer right now. Would you join with me? Let's just say, God, we put You at the center of our job. Lord, I put You at the center of my job. I put You at the center of my business. Lord, I put You at the center of my education, my degree plan. God, I put You at the center of it. For those of you that are in retirement right now, Lord, You're at the center of this season of life. Show me, Lord, how I will fulfill Your plan even though I'm not making a paycheck. Who's going to come into my path today, Lord? How can I help make disciples today, Lord? Let's pray these prayers. Let's just pray and be honest to God. Lord, please forgive us for falling short. Please forgive us for missing the mark so many times. Thinking it's about ourselves, thinking it's about a paycheck, thinking it's about our own fulfillment or our own gratification. Instead, Lord, it's about the position You've put us in. And You said in Your word, if we'd be faithful in the small things, You would make us ruler over big things. You also say, God, in Your word, that our gifts make room for themselves. So God, we're going to work heartily. Let's just make that commitment today. Would You just, if you're ready to make that commitment, just say, God, I'm going to work heartily for You. I'm going to work diligently for You, God. This is for Your kingdom, Lord, not my kingdom. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, God, wherever I work. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I surrender. If you're here today and you are not following after God and you're not looking to Him as your provider and your source of salvation and strength, then we want to give you that opportunity today to surrender to Him and just say, God, come on into my life and every aspect of my life, God. Be the center of my life today. And all we do to say that, it's a simple words. It means very profound and deep things in our life, but the actual words we say are pretty simple. We just say, God, come into my life today. I surrender my heart to you today. Say that to Him. Please forgive me of my selfishness. Please forgive me the things I've done that weren't honoring you, God. Forgive me, I pray. My sin, forgive me, Lord. I look to you, Jesus, as the Savior of my life, as the author of my life, as the provider of my life. I look to you, Jesus. I surrender to your holiness today, Jesus. Why don't we sing this song together?
Jesus at the center of it all.
Center, God. May that affect each and every aspect. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's awesome to know that Jesus cares about you. He cares about every aspect of your life, even your workplace. And He wants to make a difference there. Amen.